Welcome to the Freedom Report, broadcasting from Alexandria, Virginia. Welcome to the Freedom Report. I'm your host, Austin Peterson. Who's Austin Peterson?
Liberty champion Austin Peterson, this Justin Bieber lookalike, and a powerful advocate for liberty.
Who's Austin Peterson? I'm an American. I love life, liberty, and family, but I'm not a conservative. I'm a hardcore libertarian. What am I doing here? I'm trying to restore the republic. The Libertarian Republic is a website aimed at furthering the ideas of economic freedom and personal liberty. I don't really care about parties. All I care about are ideas. And the one idea I care the most about? Freedom! That's right, pure freedom on the Freedom Report podcast.
Welcome to the Freedom Report. First, a message from our sponsors. The Libertarian Republic is brought to you in part by Amagi Metals. Amagi Metals is TLR's trusted metals dealer, and their mission is to help simplify the buying process of metals while illuminating the importance of financial responsibility and sound money. So, if you've been thinking about getting into metals, go to AmagiMetals.com and check them out. That's AmagiMetals.com.
Hide your kids, hide your dogs. Police be shooting everybody up in here, ladies and gentlemen. And while the first story that we're going to be talking about today doesn't involve an officer shooting, it does make you question whether or not the police forces, as they are operating currently today under our current big government, are really operating in the public's best interests. And you have to question this. People say, oh, well, you know, don't let 5% of the officers spoil 95% of the records. But, you know, we try not to be biased here in the Libertarian Republic. We try and have an objective opinion about things. But why is it that when we read the news every single day, we see another story about an officer gone rogue, an officer gone bad? You know, I saw a video the other day of an officer who bashed a 13-year-old girl's face into the side of a concrete wall and just for walking away. Now, here's a similar case. The officer didn't bash her face in a concrete wall, but he did tackle her for walking on the wrong side of the street. Now listen to this. The chief of police was defending this the officer who arrested this woman for walking down the wrong side of the street, saying, well, not wanting to talk to police officers is, quote, odd. Listen to this. Backstory is this. A woman was walking down the street when a motorcycle cop approached her, asking her if she lived in the area and if she would talk to him. She says his approach made her feel uncomfortable, so she refused and continued on her way. I thought maybe he was flirting, she said. I thought it was odd. I thought it was just odd. I wasn't really sure, but I felt uncomfortable because there wasn't anyone around. She says she was worried he might not even be a real cop, so she refused to stop and began jogging away from him. He just crept alongside beside me on his motorcycle, and he started saying, hey, ma'am, I want to talk to you. Hey, stop, ma'am. I want to talk to you. Then my anxiety rose even higher, she said. And then this was followed by the cop dismounting, chasing her down, tackling her, and placing her under arrest. The police chief claims the arrest was for, quote, walking on the wrong side of the road, as well as evading arrest and resisting arrest, despite the fact that the woman wasn't charged with anything. So here's what the police chief said specifically about this case. He says, by the law, you're not required to stop and talk to an officer. That's true. If there's not a lawful reason for them to be stopping you, right? But then he says this, normally, if an officer pulls up, in my opinion, it's awful odd for somebody just to take off and not want to speak to the police officer, he said. Does it seem odd to you, Ian, that someone would not want to speak to a police officer? Tell me.
It doesn't seem odd because there's a huge power imbalance. He pulled up alongside her, was asking her if she was from the area. Generic questions, not related to any crime, mm-hmm. and she thought maybe he was flirting with her. So mm-hmm. she was uncomfortable, she was walking away, and then he used the pretext of her walking on the wrong side of the road to chase her down and tackle her. Yeah. And she was very traumatized by it.
Right, and people, if you don't understand like the concept of a power imbalance, just think of it this way. Let's say your boss was Rupert Murdoch, right, and you're just a lowly little producer on a TV show. If Rupert Murdoch walked up to you and started trying to have a chat with you about his tuna sandwich, you would feel a little awkward. You would feel a little uncomfortable. There's a power imbalance there. And so when a police officer walks up to you and starts talking to you, it may make you uncomfortable. Now, first of all, she thought that he was flirting with her, which would absolutely make somebody feel uncomfortable, because it's like, what happens if you say no to a cop?
There was no one else in the area, right. And she wasn't even sure that he was a real cop, just because it was so suspicious. Mm-hmm. Usually a cop doesn't pull up alongside you and just start making conversation.
Right. Alone. And as the sheriff said, that the ultimately the arrest was made for, quote, walking on the wrong side of the road, right? But the problem was that he ran, was that she ran away. It's like, oh, don't run away from the king's men. How dare you commit such a heinous crime?
Exactly. You can legally walk away from a cop and not talk to them if you're not suspected of a crime. Mm-hmm. And in this case, the crime she was suspected of was walking on the wrong side of the street.
Right.
So that was the justification for chasing her down and tackling her.
Yes. And so I feel as if the issue here is that she dared to disobey the cop's orders. You know what I mean? Like, oh, guess what? You don't have to do what a cop tells you to do in this country unless you're suspected of committing a crime. And that's why people really need to know their rights. I think that the problem in this country, Ian, is that people haven't read the Constitution because they think the Constitution somehow applies only to the government. But they forget that the Bill of Rights applies to the people. And if you know your rights in this country, you can exercise your rights. That's why we're doing what we're doing. That is what motivates Ian and I to get up every day and to talk to you people, you 30,000 wee band of brothers out there who are listening, you listeners who are hearing my voice right now. You probably already know. Some of you may not know your rights, but if you don't, I would encourage you highly to get, you know, a copy of the Constitution and read it. At least read the Bill of Rights, because then you'll have at least a base understanding of the rights that you hold as an individual. Now, I think that it's important to not just know your rights, but also to flex your rights when you're encountered by a police officer. And this isn't because I think people should be doing bad things. It's because sometimes misunderstandings like this can involve you getting your face smashed into a wall by a police officer because you didn't know your rights. Now, I've been pulled over a few times, and I won't ask Ian if he's ever gotten in trouble with the police, but I will say that I have gotten in trouble with the police. And the times that I've gotten in trouble with the police were really just twice in my life, other than like minor like speeding infractions or whatever. But the first time that I got in trouble with the police was because I had an open container of beer. My friend's car was outside on the sidewalk. He was a brand new car. He wanted to show me. He said, "Austin, come check out my car." This was in college. I was 21. I walked out the front door to look at his car, and I was instantly surrounded by four plainclothes police officers who grabbed the beer out of my hand, drained it, told me that I was going to have to go to court. And sure enough, I had to go to court. And it was at that point in my life, I was like, oh man, I wish I knew my rights. You know, maybe I had known something that, you know, but I talked to the police officers. I was nice to them. And I didn't realize that you don't have to talk to cops. As a matter of fact, not only do you not have to talk to police officers, you shouldn't talk to police officers. And there's plenty of good reasons not to do so. Also, you probably shouldn't always call the cops if you're in trouble. Now I say that with a caveat. That obviously, if you someone has been murdered or assaulted, or
weigh the potential benefits and risks.
Weigh the potential benefits and risks.
This case of walking on the wrong side of the street obviously is not a very serious crime, and so it really highlights the extent to which, as you indicated, police officers can be treated as a special legal caste almost in these cases of egregious abuse. So he just had the right to do as he pleased and trump up some justification. In cases of the shootings of dogs, the ASPCA says that internal police reviews pretty much unilaterally find that the shootings of dogs are justified. So a police officer can needlessly shoot a dog multiple times, he can refuse to put it out of its misery and let it suffer, and internal reviews will still find that the shootings were justified.
Mm-hmm.
There was a similar case in Texas.
Tell us the story.
The White House Melissa Bonnet case, where the woman was walking on the wrong side of the street, was also in Texas. This case in eastern Texas was a man named Cole Middleton. It was in Raines County. He called the police because he got home and found that his home had been burglarized. He had a missing iPad. Some of his wife's jewelry was missing. And so he called 911. A cop pulled into his driveway, and his dog was barking in the yard. And as the cop got out of the cop car, he pulled out his gun and shot this dog. It was already barking as the police officer pulled up. The man then begged the officer to put the dog out of its misery because his firearms had just been stolen, and the cop refused and got back in his car and drove away, and this man was forced to kill his own dog with his bare hands.
I think it's ridiculous because obviously the cop could have just easily killed the dog for him, you know, spared the dog the suffering. The guy was, here's the thing, it wasn't a pit bull, you know what I mean? This wasn't some like real crazy dangerous dog, it was a cow dog.
Mm-hmm.
So it was probably some little sweetheart dog, and it was barking at him, and the cop just shot it, you know?
Her name was Candy. She looks like a little sweetheart.
Don't tell me that. It's going to make me cry.
It's a very sad story.
It's a sad story, and it just pisses me off because the police officers don't have to do that, you know? Just don't get out of the car, you know? Like, you know, I did a video a few months ago about police officers shooting dogs, and there was an officer who had a dog that was loose. They had restrained it, right? And he had it at the end of a pole arm. And it was at the end, so it was at the end of a pole, and there was no way that the dog was going to be able to harm anybody, right? So, and then he's got the dog there, he's holding it there, he pulls out his gun and just executes the dog,
right?
Just kills it. You know what I mean? It's like you didn't have to do it. You already had the dog secured and restrained. Why do you have to execute the dog right there? It makes no sense. And I think that these police officers, I don't know if they need better training, but I think the problem is that our government has grown so big in the last several decades that police officers. And probably they probably rightly believe that they have unlimited power. You know that they have no
absolutely.
They are no longer servants of the people. They are the king's men.
Anything can be used as a pretext if you're in this special legal caste in these cases of abuse.
Mm-hmm.
There's a continuum of threats from dogs, and any dog that's barking does not just deserve to be shot immediately.
Right.
So especially weigh that if you have a dog on your property and it's a minor crime and you're thinking about calling the police. In this case, I don't think that Cole Middleton imagined that this was a possibility.
Mm-hmm.
This harmless, as you indicated, cow dog, this sweet, nice-looking dog was just barking. It was already barking when the cop pulled up, and he shot it just because. It said, I'm sorry, I shot your dog. Wouldn't even put it out of its misery.
Exactly, and it's totally disgusting behavior by the police officers. And this wouldn't have helped this guy in this case, but for our listeners, I want to give them a little anecdote here so that I can help explain to them why they should know their rights. So, one night in Washington, D.C., me and my buddies decide to rent a limousine, get a bunch of our girlfriends, and go out cavorting and drinking in the back of the limousine all night, driving around Washington, D.C. Obviously, we had a limo driver. But so we're riding around, and sometime 1 or 2 a.m. in the morning, perhaps, we're all fairly intoxicated in the back of the vehicle, enjoying ourselves, and we're driving by the Treasury, and one of my buddies decides to lean out the window and flip off the Treasury. Well, the Treasury officers were not too happy about that.
You've disgraced the sacred temple of the Treasury building.
Alexander Hamilton would be so angry. And so, anyways, he flipped off the Treasury, the little mindless, harmless and mindless prank that we pulled on the Treasury Department there, and the police officers were very angry. And so what we did was, we got pulled over, and the officer started screaming at us, saying, "Get out of the car! Get out of the vehicle right now!" And we're like, and my guy, buddy, was sitting in the back of the vehicle, and rolled down the window, and was like, "No, no." They're like, get out of the car right now. They're shining flashlights in the car and stuff like that. There's, you know, legs and women everywhere. Alcohol. We look like the total, like, 1980s stereotype of the party, you know, crazy party. And so, anyways, what happened was is that they're screaming at us to get out of the vehicle. My buddy says no. And I was, you know, sober enough to look the officer in the eye and say, "Officer, are we being detained or are we free to go?" And they go, and they said again, they said, you guys need to all get out, sit here on the sidewalk. And I just looked him right back in the eyes and go, "Officer, are we being detained or are we free to go?" And the reason I say that is because that is specific legal language.
They had no probable cause.
No probable cause to stop us. Flipping off the Treasury is no crime that anyone knows of. And they just wanted to see if they could get us out of the vehicle so that they could probably search us, maybe try and find drugs or what have you, just to, you know, because they wanted to harass us. But when I said, "Officer, are we being detained or are we free to go?" the officers looked at us for a moment and said, "You're free to go." And then we all poured another glass of wine and drank and cheered as we drove off.
You know, that sounds like an unusual incident, but at least as far as college students are concerned, I had the campus attorney, when I was a resident assistant, come and give a Know Your Rights presentation of my residents, and she said that if you just know these basic tricks that everyone should really know, there's no excuse, there's so many resources available.
Mm-hmm.
She thinks most of the cases of college students she deals with that get in trouble with the police could be averted if people just knew their rights and knew that they didn't have to talk to the police when the police don't have probable cause.
Absolutely. Not only do you not have to talk to the police, but you should also set precedent. If you are ever pulled over by the police and asked to leave your vehicle because they have probable cause, because they will say to you, "Do you mind if I search your vehicle?" Now, 99% of the time I see people getting, you know, pulled out of their cars and searched, they say, "Yeah, sure, no problem." And then, boom, they get busted for whatever. You know, sometimes cops even plant drugs, you know, but that's another topic. But you should never, ever consent to a search of your vehicle or your persons. And the reason is because you have a right to be secure in your person's places or papers and effects
right.
from unreasonable searches and seizures. And so I think that it's very important, that's the Fourth Amendment, it's very important for people to exercise their rights, even if you are searched after, even if you say, I do not consent to any searches, sir or ma'am. The fact that you set that precedent, if it's found out in court that there was it was an unreasonable search, well, even if they do find something that they can, you know, that they want to bust you for, that it can be thrown out. So it's important to set that precedent. So if you are pulled over, you know, and you're being, you know, you say, officer, am I being detained or if I'm free to go? And if you're being detained, shut up. You have a right to remain silent. Use it. Exercise it. Do not talk to police officers ever, 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 because it's not, it's an imbalance of power. You are at a loss. Everything that you say can and will be used against you in a court of law. And so if you're being detained, you're under arrest. You might as well just shut up until you can talk to a lawyer. Do you agree?
Absolutely. You should wait. Ask if you're being detained. That should be the extent of your interaction with police officers.
Mm-hmm.
A lawyer is qualified to speak to police officers. When they're talking to you, they're searching for information that they can use to incriminate you.
Mm-hmm.
That's their job.
Yeah. Now, I want to talk to you, Ian, about this topic. Let's wax philosophical for a minute, because I think our audience probably does like it when we do that. If they listen to our podcast, they probably like to hear like what's going on in the inner workings of our head. Now, I was a very, very good boy growing up, I'll be honest. When I got my senior superlative in high school, it was teacher's pet, and that's because I just really was never a troublemaker. And so I think, you know, people say, they probably think of Austin Peterson and they think, oh, what a badass, you know what I mean? Yeah, of course he doesn't like the police, blah, blah, blah. But that's not the case. I mean, yes, I'm a badass, but I've never been like, you know, the kind of guy to go out and get in trouble. I'm not like, you know, drinking and driving and doing drugs and a bad guy, you know, hurting people or whatever. So the reason why I am so interested in this subject and why I push against police abuse so far is because it's for other people. It's because I don't like to see people that I know and love get caught up in ridiculous stings for whatever reason because they were committing some victimless crime. Perhaps they like to smoke weed or something like that. And I've seen too many of my friends and people that I love go down. And I also have concern for the minority community, which has had such a negative impact from the war on drugs, and they are disproportionately harmed by the war on drugs. Ian, do you know that white people use drugs just as much as black people?
I did know that. You know, the justice system shouldn't be a personal issue. It should be a matter of what sort of society do we want to live in.
Mm-hmm.
Voltaire said it's better to let a guilty person go free than to condemn an innocent one. And that presumption of innocence is supposed to be the foundation of our justice system.
He also said it's dangerous to be right when the government is wrong.
Absolutely. Everyone should care about that if they want their descendants to live in a free and just society where government agents aren't an unaccountable caste that can do whatever they like.
Right. Well, obviously we don't live in Russia where, you know, if you're a band named Pussy Riot, they can beat you with whips and, you know, throw you in the gulag. The United States is still a relatively free free country in comparison to other nations around the world.
We have the First Amendment.
We do. Yeah, we don't want to have to live in North Korea. If we were in North Korea broadcasting this podcast that you're listening to right now, Ian and I would be hauled off and killed probably before the end of the day. But I want to talk about the mentality of the police officers nowadays, because I think that there is a problem, and the problem with police officers stems directly from the amount of power that's given to the Department of Justice and to the executive branch. And I think that what happens is that the fish rots at the head. You know, people say, well, you just hate cops, Austin, and stuff like that. I'm like, no, I think that bad police officers are a result of too much power given to the executive branch of our government. And so the issue here is that if there are bad police officers and the power of police officers, the more police officers that are becoming corrupt, it's because our government is becoming corrupt and that fish is rotting from the top down, the head is rotting, and that the police officers are a symptom of big government. Would you agree?
Right. I think that's why when you look at different regions, there seem to be more police abuse, cases of egregious police abuse in mm-hmm. certain areas.
Mm-hmm.
In Texas, that's the source of all of these viral police incidents mm-hmm. we've seen lately. The case of Amanda Jo Stevens, the woman who was walking and then was tackled mm-hmm. just for jaywalking. The case of, you know, Melissa Bonnet, who was tackled for walking on the wrong side of the street. And then this case of Corey Middleton, whose dog was shot because his home was burglarized, and then the police officer wouldn't put it out of its misery.
Right. And so when you look at the behavior of police officers today, they are acting based on what they can get away with.
Right. You know? It sets a precedent. When you have more police abuse in a certain area and it's not punished and internal reviews find no problems with it, mm-hmm. then you're going to see more of that, because that's how people are. People will do what they can get away with.
A lot of times...
Cops are humans, too.
Yeah, well, that's right. Now, some cops are humans, and some cops are subhumans by their behavior, and I think that if we are going to address certain police officers directly, we should be honest and say that there are some people who go into a profession of power, just like politicians, people who are sociopaths, because they want to have power over people, and that is why we have got to have checks and balances. That's why we need things like citizen review boards in certain towns and counties, so that we can hold certain people accountable. Because, you know, how many people that you knew that were your bullies in elementary school are now police officers?
I would look up, even if you're not a Christian, I would suggest everyone look up the parable of the trees in the book of Judges. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite stories in the Bible. It just produces chill down your spine reverence, because you know that it speaks to a really deep truth. And what it says is that to the extent that you offer power, the worst, most abusive, most corrupt people will seek that power and seek to use it. So you should be careful about the extent to which you do offer power. People that are good and that are minding their own business and don't want to needlessly impose themselves on others won't seek to sit upon a throne generally.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why, like, I get so angry at conservatives who are just knee-jerk reactionaries to defend police officers when they conduct abuse. And I think it's probably because, like, there are a lot of scumbags out there, don't get me wrong. You know, the police are there for a reason, to, you know, to keep law and order, maintain law and order in their communities. And so there are a lot of bad guys, and a lot of bad guys want to try and make, you know, take advantage of the system, and they want to try and screw over police officers. So I think probably a lot of conservatives, you know, who are law and order conservatives, they protect the police in these situations because they give them the benefit of the doubt, because they look at them as public servants. Why do they then not give that same benefit of the doubt to people like Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid? I don't understand.
Right, absolutely. Positions of power attract people who are attracted to power. It works both for politics and for law enforcement. There's two extremes whenever we post a police abuse story. You have people that will, no matter the circumstances, always assume the cop is in the wrong.
Right.
But then you have people that, even in cases of obvious, egregious abuse, they'll just immediately assume that whatever the cop did was justified. Mm-hmm. In the case of this Cole Middleton, a dog case, people were saying, you know, well, should he have waited to get bitten? The dog was barking when the cop pulled into the driveway. Mm-hmm. The cop got out and shot it, and then he wouldn't put it out of its misery. Just a case of obvious, egregious abuse, and there's no excuse for that.
Right.
We should recognize that cops are human beings and can do immoral things just like anyone else.
Right, and they can do moral things like act on their conscience when they know that their conscience is telling them to do the right thing.
Right,
I think
absolutely.
They should do that. All right, well, thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, for listening to the Freedom Report podcast. This is your home for economic freedom and personal liberty. If you want to come back to the Libertarian Republic every single day, do us a favor. If you like our podcast, subscribe to us on iTunes. If you don't have an Apple, then just go to Stitcher. If you've got an Android phone, you can go to the Stitcher app, and you can download the Stitcher app, and you can subscribe to us there. And tell us what you think. Go to the Libertarian Republic website. On the front page, there's a place where you can send us a tip. If you've got a cool news story or something you think we should cover on our podcast, send us an email. We'd like to hear from you. And don't forget, come back every single day. Your home for economic freedom and personal liberty. The Libertarian Republic.com.